Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our special guest speaker. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
All right, go for it.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's such an honor to get to speak here this morning. I so appreciate Thrive and Molly and Kevin for the way that they empower us and trust us to step into roles of sharing and leading parts of the service. I also especially just love how this church is full of people who believe that God is going to move and do great things. I mean, I think this morning was such a good example where, like, we are pressing into faith, and that's the kind of faith community that we're just so, I'm so thankful that we're raising our kids in that kind of environment where, like, faith is something that, like, we don't just ignore. So thank you for just believing that God's going to do great things. All right. Well, let's jump in. I'm just going to open in prayer. God, we thank you just for your words. And God, I pray that you would open our hearts to hear and to capture the words that you want to speak. God, we pray that you would equip us in Jesus' name. We love you, God. Amen. Yeah, does it sound okay?
No, you're good. I just want to make sure it's on.
Yeah, okay. I think it's on.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Okay, well, I want to start off with just a quick question for us all to reflect on, and that is, who are you? So you can even actually close your eyes. This is a risk that I might lose some of you early on in the message to sleep, but let's just ask yourself, who am I? Like, what are my strengths and weaknesses? How do you feel about yourself? Are you the person you want to be? Yeah, are you the person that you want to be? All right, good job. You can open your eyes. So let's remember this as we go into the message. So when I think about who I am, I think of I can almost end up in two different states of Nathan. There's like the faith-filled side where I think of the prophetic words that I've received in my life. I think of my testimony, the journey of what God has brought me on and where that's headed. And on those days when I identify with that Nathan, I find it easy to connect with God, to pray, to just listen to him, to hear his voice. Those days are great. But that's not always the Nathan that I feel like and I identify with, unfortunately. There's a lot of days where, you know, life is hard. Life is exhausting. I'm confronted by my limited capabilities at work. I find myself comparing myself to other people that are more gifted, more celebrated, more charismatic. You know, you could go on and on. And on those days, when I don't feel like I'm being the person that God has called me to be, I'll, you know, feel discouraged. I might find myself even binging YouTube or, you know, going, you know, following other cravings and escapism from the world to try to bring comfort. And those things usually end up bringing guilt that I'm not walking in who God has called me to be. And it ends up being sort of like a feedback loop or a cycle. And so there's almost like two different cycles depending on which Nathan I'm feeling like. And it's all kind of comes down to your identity. So let's just look at this next diagram where identity, and I'll just say identity, what I refer to that is your self-perception. How do you see yourself? As well as who do you think other people see you as, right? So that's your identity, and out of that identity flows your decision-making, your habits, your actions. We act out according to who we think we are. You might not think that's true on the small, you know, immediate action level, but it does play out in aggregate in your life. And out of those actions create your circumstances, and then your circumstances give lots of feedback back to your identity that either affirms you know, the person you are, or, you know, kind of adjusts and, you know, shapes who you believe you are. Just an example, you know, maybe you were one of the lucky kids that grew up believing that you're smart. And if you believe you're smart, in school, you're probably going to work hard and enjoy learning things, and you're going to get good grades. Those are your circumstances, and that's going to, you know, give feedback to keep affirming that you're smart, and life is going to go on like that, and, you know, maybe you're going to get a good job, and so on. But unfortunately, there's also a lot of kids that might struggle in school, and they might think that they're not smart or that school is not their thing, and they're going to probably be more likely to try to avoid some of that structure and, you know, not study, you know, spend time doing other things, and then they're, you know, if bad grades come back, it's going to reinforce that identity that they're not smart, and it's kind of a sad loop that even though they might have tremendous potential, they believe that they're not smart. Okay, thanks. Please. Thank you. Check.
Sorry, guys.
All right. Yeah. Check. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. That's less of that harsh. Thank you. Okay. So where were we? Identity. No. Yeah. So this is our identity, and things tend to go in a consistent loop. But the good news is that we are not just passive victims of whatever identity we inherit. We actually are called in Romans 12:2 to be transformed by what? Are we transformed by changing our circumstances? Just get a lot of money. You know, once I get that BMW, I'll be a new man. Are we transformed by really practicing hard and perfecting this, like, actions of being a good Christian? No, it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's all about what you think and believe. The way you see yourself is how you can be transformed. It's a short circuit with the way that you can alter this whole cycle. And the problem is that the enemy also knows this. If we advance one to the next slide, who's this little red guy here? I had to pick among available PowerPoint icons. So the enemy is really good at, he's called the accuser of the brethren. And in this fallen world, there's never going to be a shortage of circumstances that he can try to use to accuse your identity, right? So, I mean, let's just say you try praying for someone, a friend who's really sick, and you try to step out in boldness and you pray for healing, but then nothing happens, right? Chances are you might hear a voice in your head that you're not gifted. Stop trying, you know, stop making a fool of yourself. Or, you know, maybe someone else at work gets a promotion. You might think, like, you're not successful. No one cares about you. And the problem is that when a bad belief gets, one of those lies becomes a belief, it becomes a stronghold. And psychologists even have kind of, from a non-Christian standpoint, have even confirmed and studied that we will actually look for confirmation throughout life to keep reinforcing a stronghold. And it's a powerful thing that can really hold us back, and it's a place from which the enemy can work in our lives and do all sorts of stealing, killing, and destroying. So we don't want that. But how can we be transformed in our mind? How can we, like, you know, win this battle? Well, the good news is I'll just read a verse, 2 Corinthians 10. I think we have a slide for that. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. All right, can we all say, we have powerful weapons? We have powerful weapons. There we go. Awesome. So we can use these weapons to demolish strongholds, undo what the enemy's trying to do, and, you know, take our thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. So the question is, what are our weapons? I think one of my favorite weapons is worship. But that was something we were totally exercising today. That's unfortunately not the focus of the message today. I'm going to talk about a different weapon that I have learned about in my life, and I have found it really practical and effective in applying in my life. And so that's what I want to share with you about is one of these weapons, and it is using our words, using declarations. It's very similar to worship, but they're like the same thing. I want to start off with a passage that there was a season in my life where I would often start off my quiet times and I'd ask God, God, what do you want to show me? What do you want to teach me about today? And I felt over and over, I felt like James 3 would just be highlighted in my mind. And so I would go to James 3, and it was almost kind of frustrating for me because I was like, well, God, what are you showing me here? And I'll just start with verse 2. It says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. I'll just pause there. I was always frustrated by this verse. So I am an introvert. Are there any other introverts in the room? Yeah, sometimes we're like hesitant to raise our hand. I felt like as an introvert, I have 99 problems, and what I say is kind of like low on the list. Like what is this? If you're never at fault in what you say, then you're perfect. And I finally began to realize something as I read the rest of the passage. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And it's talking about your tongue, your words that you choose to use. And I finally was realizing that this passage isn't just about don't say bad words. It's actually also about you can use your words to speak life and goodness and actually steer your life and your faith in a positive direction. And so that's the weapon that I want to explore this morning. So I have a few different verses just to kind of show some different perspectives around this weapon. This isn't just like a positive thinking kind of thing. It is actually powerful. So in Proverbs 18:21, it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. There's power in our tongue. You know, when Jesus was walking on the earth, there was tremendous power when he spoke. You know, storms were calmed when he spoke. The dead were raised when he spoke. Healings happened. And then he imparted his power and authority to his disciples, and then they went around, and miracles would happen when they were ministering. So there is power in our tongue. And those who love this revelation, this understanding, you can actually eat the fruit. It can actually be good or bad. Like, you know, speaking negativity can actually probably, I believe, can bring bad things into your life. But the better thing is that you can speak life and have positive blessing come into your life. One kind of quote that I think is worth pondering, Bill Johnson says, what comes into my life is the fruit of what has come out of my mouth. Can we say, what comes into my mouth, or sorry, what comes into my life is the fruit of what has come out of my mouth. So that's interesting. Another verse is Romans 4:17. It talks about the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not as though they were. God doesn't just describe things that he sees, and he doesn't just make like minor tweaks on things. When he speaks, he creates completely new things, right? The Bible starts off, it doesn't say, in the beginning, God said, wow, this is like really formless and void. It's a lot of darkness. No, he said, let there be light. Like he speaks and declares and creates things with his words. And then the amazing thing is that after he created that, like a couple days later, he made us, and it says he made us in his image. And I wonder if we are actually called to, similar to him, take dominion over our lives and the world around us and speak life into the places that need it. One really simple, concise example is a verse that you've probably heard before in an old song. So Joel 3:10, let the weak think I am weak. No, that's not it. I almost got some of you guys now. No, the real thing is let the weak say, I am strong. So why would weak people say that they're strong? That's just lying, right? Well, contrary to our circumstances, we can stand on what God says and what God has made available to us. I think a tangible example for many of us in this spirit-filled kind of movement like Vineyard. How many of us want to see miracles when we pray for the sick? Right. Jesus says that signs and wonders will follow those who believe. But how many of you are already like seeing all the fruit that you want to see when you pray for the sick? Right? So we might not have the full fruit that we want to see when we pray for the sick. That's definitely me in my boat today. But just to borrow an analogy from a teacher that I really like, let's say you buy an apple tree that's young and it doesn't have fruit yet. Are you going to be confused? Is it really an apple tree just because it doesn't have apples? Or maybe you forget to water it and it dies and it's never had an apple in its life. And then we all gather at its funeral. We're all mourning. Like, would we say, I just don't know what kind of tree it was, you know? You're not sure. No, we know that it's an apple tree because that's what it was meant to do. Similarly, we don't derive our identity from the current fruit in our life. We can derive our identity from what God has called us to do, from what God says about us. And so that means we have the opportunity to use our words to proactively speak to where we want to be. And so that's where I kind of want to land on this kind of main analogy in this next slide, is that we get to use our words not just as a thermometer, but as a thermostat. So what is that? What does that mean? Obviously, a thermometer just reports what it currently is observing in the world, versus a thermostat will set the temperature and bring the temperature to what it is currently set at, which is more powerful, right? So an example in our life, you could say in a thermometer moment, you might say, my workplace is a toxic environment. And that might be kind of true, but instead you could speak as a thermostat and say, my workplace is ripe for a harvest of God. Right, as a thermostat, you don't have to say things the way that they are, but you, according to the reality of what God can do in a moment, you can speak according to that, and you can actually shift the climate and the environment of your faith and belief to impact the world around us. And so that is the challenge I want to give us. So let's just run through some examples. All right. So I'm gonna say a few phrases. If it's a thermometer phrase, give me a thumbs down. If it's a thermostat phrase, give me thumbs up. So here we go. America is such a dark place right now. Yeah. Or our city is hard for the gospel. Yeah. Those things might be kind of true, but there are better things that we could be saying, right? How about God is doing a new thing in my life? That's an easy one you could almost say any day. Even if I don't see fruit, there is healing power in my prayers over people. That's a thumbs up. All right, let's do an exercise. So how many of you feel called to be a light in the world? Yes. Jesus says you are the light of the world. But how many of us often experience circumstances where we feel like we're not influential? You might not feel influential at work, at church, or among your family and friends. So let's put this to practice, okay? So can we actually stand up? Let's just practice this. Let's be that city on the hill, the lamp on a lampstand. And with a victorious body posture, I want you. So I'm gonna lead us in some declarations, and I want you to just repeat after me, but speak from your heart, speak with your faith. Okay? So, God, I thank you for your victory and grace in my life. God, I thank you for your victory and grace in my life. You are making me to be a light that shines.
You are making me to be a light that shines.
I am who you say I am. And you say that I am a light in the world.
And you say that I am a light in the world.
The enemy trembles when I walk into the room.
The enemy trembles when I walk into the room.
Darkness has to leave wherever I go.
Darkness has to leave wherever I go.
Even now you are transforming me to be a brighter light.
Even now you are transforming me to be a brighter light.
Amen. Amen. Good job. All right. Thank you for joining in that. I hope maybe you might just feel more energy and hope, more faith just around your life. And I believe that if we practice speaking words of faith like this on a regular basis, it will set your life on a trajectory of transformation, of greater, of a victorious mindset. If God is all powerful, then all he really needs is for us to walk in faith and to have a victorious mindset. And I think that this is such a powerful weapon to break off attacks of the enemy and stand in truth. So I want to transition into just some practical steps. So let's use our words, and where would we use our words on the next slide is really anywhere that you see in your life that isn't full of hope. So if you see anything that's low on hope, discouragement, despair, I want you to think this is an opportunity for me to speak life into an area. And this can also go for those those that you know, family members, friends, many of us can find ourselves in difficult, hopeless situations, and those are key times to speak life into those around us. All right, the next thing is, how do you start? What I've found, I have read books. One of my favorite authors talks about this, and when I come out of messages like this, I find it easy to declare things like right after the message. But if you want to start like a habit, I find it's really hard to just keep speaking things contrary to your circumstances. It's like when you wake up at 6 a.m, you don't feel like speaking life and, speaking life into the day. But I find that it's way easier to start if you start with Thanksgiving. And why is because that takes the focus off of yourself and puts it on God and his capability. So I'll start off in the morning and I might not feel like it, but I'll start off and just thank God. God, I thank you for your grace in my life. I thank you that your mercies are new this morning. I thank you that you provide everything I need to walk out godliness, goodness, and have a great day today. So I start off with thanksgiving. And as I do that, and as I focus on God, my faith level rises up to then speak from a position of faith into my life. And then the other thing is worship. I think this morning was an amazing example. I don't know if for all of us, if you were to compare how you're feeling right before church to right after the worship set, like a worship set like today, it's like, man, I just feel like energized, like I want to like go and pray for some people. So worship is really this exact thing, declarations of faith, but it's to a catchy tune and melody, right? It makes it so easy for you to just, speak out tons of things. So next time that annoying worship leader is making you sing, what was that bridge that we sang? You're a miracle working God. We sang that like 20 different times. I don't know if you added it up. Like this morning, we just sang that over and over and over. You are a miracle working God. But it's so powerful. And so like the more you say it, the more you are speaking into your spirit, declaring out and building up your faith and hope. So worship is super powerful for stirring up this exercise. For me, I kind of have an unfair advantage. I have a guitar on a stand right next to my desk. I work from home, so I'm lucky that I get to just grab my guitar and worship. During the workday, if I'm feeling discouraged or just exhausted, but you could have a worship playlist on your way to work, or in your quiet time, you could start off with a worship song. All right, and then next, so we talked about where, how to start, and then the biggest thing is, what are you going to say? And I would say the biggest thing is ask God and listen, right? He has so much to say, and it's so transformative. When you get a word from God, right, like words from God created us. It created the whole world. Words from God can bring transformation, raise the dead, change anything. All you need is a word from God, and you can stand on that in faith. It's so powerful. I'll never forget one of my most cherished times of hearing God speak was one morning years ago back in college. I was praying, and for some reason, I had this idea, I said to God, God, what is one thing that you want to say to me that I will believe with all of my heart and stand on in faith and declare? And I was expecting, you know, a quaint, like, I will be with you always, you know, one of the, like, a great promise from the Bible. But instead, as soon as I asked that, I was surprised, like, the words that came into my mouth were, I will transform nations with your hand. And to be honest, like many days, like I have forgotten about that. I haven't always believed that. But I have since then, I've written it down, and I have now incorporated that into a declaration I say every morning as I start work. I say, God, I thank you that as I walk with you, nations will be transformed. And that just stirs up faith. And it's a word that I'm never going to let go of. And even if nations aren't transformed, like there's no harm in believing that. But I know that if I don't believe that, nations aren't going to be transformed from my walking with God. So there's so much power when we listen to God and get a word from him over any area that is low on hope. Also, you can, you know, get prophetic words. There are prophetic people in this congregation that can, you know, speak words that can bring life. Also, the scriptures are so full of promises of God, and you have permission to take them. Like, they are free. You can find so many good promises throughout the word that you can take, believe, declare, and speak over your life. And then finally, collect these on sticky notes, like put them up, because they will be forgotten. These words of God, you'll miss them out, and they could so easily go without being spoken on a regular basis. But surround yourself with words from God. And then finally, when should you use your words? I say every day. I try to build a habit. It honestly takes like 30 seconds to a minute, like when I start off in the morning in my quiet time, but it just sets the tone and it activates my faith. I think of what Jess shared this morning goes so in line with this. You know, she said, I woke up this morning at 6 and I did not feel, like, you know, this worshiping state. But once she got into worshiping, like she said, my spirit came alive. I forget exactly what she said, but, we were declaring, that is who you are, right? Way maker, miracle worker. It's when we declare that it activates our faith. So in terms of, to build a nerdy habit, I got an app on my phone. It's free, called Habits, and you could set up like little reminders. So I have one that just has several different things that I'm trying to build as like regular habits in my life, like study Japanese, get some exercise, declare truth in my life. And when I do it, I check it off, and it sends me a notification, and then I can see it on my phone, like, you know, my streak. It's a nerdy detail. You can you can do that if you want to. All right. So those are hopefully just some tools that you can put into practice in your life to speak as a thermostat and to speak life. And it doesn't have to match what you're currently experiencing. Just listen to God and declare his truth. So as we close out, I want to close out with a challenge, an activity. With a scripture. So I feel like many of us, as we've gone through life with God, we have picked up dreams and hopes in him. And these could be hopes to, you know, start a certain ministry or participate in a ministry or, you know, to see a certain friend or family member be saved or to see miracles and breakthrough when you pray for people, right? We all have so many different dreams that God has filled us with. But as life happens, there's so much room for discouragement, and the enemy is very threatened by your dreams, right? Your dreams are so powerful, and the enemy would do anything he can to make you set aside your dream and to let it just die, to become dry bones, all right? And I fear that many of us, I've experienced this in my own life, that those dreams that I may have once had, they can just feel distant, and I'll put them on the shelf, and I'll sometimes wonder, like, you know, will that ever come true? And they can end up becoming dry bones. And so I want to read Ezekiel 37, and I feel like God was, I feel like there's resurrection power on this morning as we choose to speak to the dry bones in our lives, to the dreams, to the hopes and desires that God has put on our heart. So I'm gonna read this. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word,'" "hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, skin covered them. I believe that there is resurrection power available when we pray and declare the words of God over our lost dreams and hopes in our life. So I just want to take a moment and let's just ask God, what are the areas in our life that you might be calling me to prophesy over the dry bones? And just ask God, where are the dry bones in my life, and what do you want to say over those? Let's just take a moment and just invite God to speak.